Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
I'm blessed to be part of a praying church, and I sincerely mean that. If you've ever been prayed for, we try not to take that for granted, that people pray for us, and we're grateful to God for that. One of the things that we're challenging y'all this year is to be intentional, as Brother Brian has alluded to, intentional in three areas of our life, our worship, our witness, our walk. And part of that, last Wednesday night, we started a sermon and really kind of, we may take it for a few weeks because I think it really is something that it takes being intentional to get it done. And that's in the subject matter of prayer. Tonight, what I'd like to do is preach a sermon that's simply entitled and really kind of answer some questions on how to pray for your church. In particular, praying for the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. How do we pray for her? We've been dealing with it last Sunday night. We dealt with the fact that part of our series of lessons or message that we're going through on Sunday night, it deals with the runs in the vein of I am a church member. What does it mean? What is the mentality of being a church member? Is it a country club membership where people serve me, I pay my dues, or is it to be a membership where it's sacrificial and we sacrifice and we come to give, not to get? And I believe as we look through the Word of God, you'll find that the local New Testament church is an awesome place to be a part of. It's amazing to be part of a local New Testament church. And I think when it comes in the context of us standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and for time's sake, we won't run this way, but over the next few weeks, maybe we will. I think when it's all said and done and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I really sincerely believe that our church membership will come up. I think our church attendance and how we treated it will come up. And you say, well, preacher, why is that important? Well, because Jesus loves the local church. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. And when it comes to that, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I think it's important to love what Jesus loves. And again, part of the one of the thoughts we gave you last Sunday night that really is from that book that we read on I'm a Church Member, to give credit where credit is due, one of the thoughts is he talks about as far as a family, being intentional and really leading my family to fall in love with the local church. And I think that really is a tremendous, tremendous goal to have. Raise your family in church. Amen? Keep them in church. God will bless that. And the Lord Jesus Christ will absolutely bless. He'll bless in that aspect of that. So if you will, find the book of Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to share some things with you that really just really blessed my heart as I was digging through these verses. Now, we've preached the book of Philippians last year, I believe it was. Tremendous book. I love the book of Philippians because here is the Apostle Paul. He's 1,000 miles. It is interesting. He's 1,000 miles from this church. He's in a prison cell in Rome, no doubt thinking that his life may come to a soon end. But here he is some 1,000 miles away, and he has a local New Testament church. Think with me now. He has a local New Testament church on his heart, even in the midst of a very severe trial. And when we come to this, and when you look at these verses, the Apostle Paul is going to show us right from these verses. If you don't normally take notes, I encourage you to take notes tonight, because we're going to go right through these verses and specifically through different words and show us how to pray for our church. How do we pray for it? Do we just pray generally, Lord, watch over our church? Well, I think we can show you biblically to be absolutely specific of how we pray for our church, and in particular, the local New Testament church of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. So Philippians chapter 1, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. And we will look at these tonight, and I pray God will truly use it, and I pray God will challenge all of us. Hold on one second. as I write something down there. All right, Philippians chapter 1, and let's start our reading. Let's just start in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So we automatically, at first you think, well, he's just writing this letter to Christian people. Well, that's not true. He's not just writing it to Christian people. He's writing it in the context and the backdrop of a local church, a local baptized body of believers. You say, how do you know it's a local church? Well, look in verse 1. With the bishops, that's the overseers. Another word would be pastor. That's a biblical word of that. It was not uncommon for local churches back in the first century to have more than one pastor, often due to the size. And so Paul's writing that, right? The saints, the bishops and deacons, the pastors of the church, the deacons, the servants in the church. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Isn't it a remarkable thought that Paul is thinking about this church some thousand miles away while he's in a jail cell, no doubt perhaps knowing that his life could soon be over, but yet he's got somebody else on his heart. He's got him in his mind. As Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, he's going to have him in his mind, his heart, and his prayers before chapter 1 even gets over with. So verse 4, he says, always in every prayer of mine. Look at this now. In every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. Paul now is going to let us know that this church is in his prayer list. It's on his prayer list. He prays for it daily. He prays for it. When they come to his heart, his mind, he lifts them before the Lord. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel, making request with joy, verse 4, for your fellowship, verse 5, in the gospel from the first day until now. The first day, Acts chapter 16, where that church is born there. You can read about that. Tremendous founding of that local assembly. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Literally, Jesus will complete it. Verse 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of y'all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now notice verse 8, for God is my record. Now that's very bold language. He's literally saying, God is my witness. That's what Paul's saying there. God is my witness how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Isn't it remarkable that here is the Apostle Paul, stay with me now, here is the Apostle Paul sitting in a Roman jail cell, 1,000 miles away from this local church, and yet he says in verse 8, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said, God is my record, my witness, that I long to be with you. I miss you. I long to be with you. Now, wouldn't it be a blessing? Literally, seriously, think with me for a moment. Wouldn't it be a blessing that would be a passionate desire of all of us to long to be at the church? I promise you this. Let me read it. Now I'm not going to. Let's read this because I don't want to add to the scripture, and then I'll make some comments. Verse 9 through 11 is where we're going to draw our sermon thoughts tonight. Verse 9, then Paul says, and this I pray. So now he's going to tell us about how he prays. This I pray. Isn't it? Now, I'll be honest, Paul was a prayer warrior. And thank God he was, and we'll see how he prays. For this I pray, number one, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Father, we love you. We pray your blessing on the reading of your word. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher, be our guide, and Father, we'll praise you for what you're going to do in our midst. Thank you, God, for men like the Apostle Paul who absolutely loved the local assembly. God, he passionately desired to even be with this local church some thousand miles away from him because he loved her, she loved him, and God, he ministered to her and they ministered to him. And God, we pray now, may your Spirit guide our services in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, the Apostle Paul was a man of great power. And the reason he was a man of great power, he was a passionate man. And really, I think that you could tie that power to his prayer life. My preacher, I remember when my brother Morton, and I was a young teenager, 16 when I got saved. And so in that range, I remember going over to Brother Morton's house, Brother and Sister Morton's. And I was friends with Michael, their youngest son who they had adopted. He was actually their nephew, adopted him. And we went to school together. And I remember at Brother Morton's house, they would have scriptures on the walls. And then they had a phrase that said this phrase, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. And when we think about that, that's really that's a biblical principle. Much prayer, much power. If you want more power of God in your life, be a man, be a woman of prayer. Now, when we talk about prayer, we understand that's literally us talking to God based on and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, by way of notes, I'm going to give you a few thoughts tonight that literally what Paul was praying for this church ought to be, literally. It ought to be, and I promise you this, from this day forward, I'm going to try to make this a practice in my own life and in my own prayer life for the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. I'm going to make it a practice and prayerfully, seriously, in my children, in my wife, in my family, to be intentional about praying for the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. Wouldn't it be amazing that God, wouldn't it be amazing is if all of us, as a part of this local New Testament church, this local body, if all of us got so passionate about praying for this body, I promise you, we would be blown away. I really sincerely mean this. We would be blown away at what God would do. We would. Danny Singleton's coming. Brother Brian mentioned it. Hey, invite your friends out. It's going to be a great day. Now, those messages, I asked him to gear his messages towards the men. Now, the ladies just said, well, that means I don't have to come. No, you need to come. And I'll tell you why I need to come. Because when he does preach those kind of messages, it lets you know that, hey, he's calling us as men to faithfulness. He's calling us as men to integrity. He's calling us as men in character. And as a woman, you know how to pray for us. So come out, support, and be a part. And I promise you, you'll be blessed even on that Sunday, regardless of the direction that the service goes. I promise you, you'll be encouraged. So Paul prayed for this church, and I sincerely show, as we see in these verses, notice what he prayed for. And I'm going to have you highlight, maybe circle some words as we go through this, because I love to do word studies, and we're going to do that tonight in verses 9 through 11. Notice what Paul prayed for. How can I pray for the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist? And this I pray, that your love may abound. Underline the word abound. That your love may abound. What was Paul praying for? He was praying for love that flowed out of this church and through this church. He was praying for love that flows. The word abound is a Greek word that literally means to flow, or better yet, to overflow. It is the picture of water being poured into a bucket until that bucket literally overflows. It can't hold it anymore. So the Apostle Paul was praying that that indeed would be an aspect, would be a characteristic of this local New Testament church, a love that flowed. Now, when we talk about love, and when we think about love, and I know, our culture has, seriously, they have no idea of what true love is. Now, they search for it. They write songs about it. But what does he mean by love? Now, here's what's remarkable about this prayer request. He says, I'm praying that your love, literally, that it overflows. And ladies and gentlemen, the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church absolutely must stay a place that is loving. Amen? I told you earlier that it would behoove us. It would be very important for us to love the things that Jesus loves. He loves the local church. He loves lost sinners. And we, amen? You didn't hear me? He loves lost sinners, right? Because he loves lost sinners. Let me say this. He loved you when you were lost. Hallelujah, man. And I'm grateful to God for that. And because he loves us, we're to love the things that he loves. He loves the local assembly. He loves the church. He gave himself for it, the Bible tells us in Ephesians. And because he loves it, we're to love it. And because he loved the church, we're to love lost people as well. And as the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, may God, and here's a prayer request, here's how we should pray. Lord, may our love abound. May our love, as the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, here's a prayer request, may our love abound. May it overflow, God. May the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church be a local assembly that has love so much that it overflows. You know what happens when something overflows? It gets on people. Can I get a witness in the building? When it overflows, it gets on you. If you're filling a bucket up, you're not paying attention, and it overflows, it gets on you. Or you're filling your gas tank, Cheryl Van Warmer, and amen? You know where I'm going with this? Can I share this story? Sure, thanks. Years ago, it's a long time ago. How long ago was that? 50 years ago, probably. Yeah. We've known the Van Warmers for years. We've known the Van Warmers when Kayla was about 2 years old. She's 37 now. Don't tell her I said that. But we've known the Van Wormers that long. And we used to go, man, I'm really dating us now. We used to go to Van Wormers' house a lot, and Will and I would play Sega football. Remember those days, brother? Was it Sega? I can't see for the lights hit me in the face. Sega football. So we got hungry for, I think, ice cream or something like that. So Leslie and Cheryl decided to go get us some ice cream. Can I get a witness in the building? You know what's great now? My daughter, Ashley, she's driving now. She's gone to Kroger 7 times, and we've eaten 40 gallons of ice cream. See, your wife won't get it for you when she's trying to keep you healthy or get you started on a health track. But your teenage daughter will. So Leslie and Cheryl decide they're going to go get some ice cream, and I think the tank wasn't filled up. So Leslie says, I'm going to stop. We'll stop and get some gas. She said, so I'm going to put it in there, and I'll get back in, and we'll talk. I think it was cold. Well, they talked all right, and then Leslie realized, what is that noise? She's looking around. What is that noise? She looks around, and she gets out of the car, and the gas tank, I don't know why it did this. I think she's driving a GMC. But anyway, it started overflowing and overflowing and overflowing and overflowing. It borderline an oil slick, I'm telling you. So when she gets back, after they spilled all the ice cream all over her coat, remember that? She had like a white brownish coat. It spilled all over. She gets back, and I said to her, I said, babe, well, how much gas did you spill? And she said, I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, 5 or 10 cents worth. She goes, I don't know, maybe $3 or $4. $3 or $4. And back then, you could get probably a gallon for almost a dollar. Boy, those days are crazy now. Now it would have been about a thimbleful. But what's the point? It overflowed. It literally was filled to capacity, that tank was, but it overflowed, and it got all over stuff. You say, what'd she do? She took off like anybody, any good redneck wife will do. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know what she did. But anyway, what's the point? When it comes to love, here's the prayer request. Our prayer would be, God, may the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, here's how I can pray for my church. May our love abound. May it overflow, God. May it overflow. May it get on people. May it get on anybody that comes in contact. We've had people over the years, literally, we've had people over the years that have been looking for a church. And seriously, I've had I know of 2 occasions, I believe maybe 3 occasions, where families have come and they've said to me, hey, you know, pray for us, preacher. We visited today. We're looking for a church, and we'll probably be visiting around some other churches. And you know what God has done? God has often, on 2 occasions, I know, I think 3 occasions, the Lord Jesus, those families, they didn't visit any other churches after they came to Emmanuel. You say, well, preacher, what's the point? Are you being arrogant? No, hear my heart. To their testimony, they've said things like, preacher, we came, we had all intentions of visiting other churches, but man, when we came to Emmanuel, we just felt right at home. And man, it was a very loving place, and people just loved on us, and welcomed us with open arms. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the way it ought to be. Amen? That's the way it ought to be. Any place where Jesus is, it's a wonderful place to be at. Are we a perfect church? No, we're not a perfect church. And I would never, ever dare to say that we are. But may our prayers be, here's how we can pray for our church. Man, I wish the whole church was in here. I may have to share some of this Sunday night. But we pray that our love abounds. But notice something about love. Here's what's tremendous. I love these next statements. Love should be growing. Abound, our love should be growing, but our love also, and I've never really seen this before till today as I was looking over some of this, our love not only should be growing, but our love should be guided. So what do you mean? Well, Paul's going to tell us about it. Our love should be guided. We live in a culture that absolutely does, they don't have any clue of what true love is. And you say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, let me show you the text, and then I'll share some thoughts on it. Paul says, and I want you to underline a couple more words. He says, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more, not just more, but more and more, so that we constantly as a church, need to pray that God's love, that our love, man, it abounds, it continues to overflow. But notice now, though, what it's sandwiched in between. Here's love, but you've got 2 things on the side of it. That your love would abound yet more and more in knowledge, underline that, in knowledge and in all judgment. In knowledge and in all judgment. The word knowledge is pretty much self-explanatory, but in the context of this word, in the context of this passage, the word knowledge is is really a reference, or is a knowledge of the Word of God. A knowledge of the Word of God. We as God's children need to be increasing in our knowledge of the Bible. Wow, are you kidding me? One amen there? We as God's people should be ever increasing in our knowledge of God's holy word. Can I get a witness in the building? Now, having said that, you say, well, preacher, yeah, but why is it important? Well, because this is amazing. Because if our knowledge of God's word is increasing, it's going to give us an understanding of what true love is. What is love? Well, not only knowledge, he uses the word judgment. Literally, the word judgment, and it may mention in the margin of your Bible like it does mine, that word judgment, it means discernment. It means discernment. So you have love in the middle. Our prayer is, God, may our love abound. But, Lord, may our love that abounds, may it be in the aspect of knowledge on this side and judgment or discernment on this side. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We looked at this passage the other night, but I want to show you something when it comes to love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 6. Since God is love, and since God wrote this book, the Bible, and really it's preeminent book about love, somebody said that this book is God's love letter to his people. What is, in the context of love, that love should be guided? Well, let me show you some thoughts here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, dealing in the context of charity, we talked about that. Charity means it's love, yes, but it's more specific. In the context, it means love given without any anticipation of anything in return. It's like given to a charitable contribution. You give it, you don't anticipate anything in return. And so that's kind of the context. So in the context of that, it says love, charity, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Underline that, truth. In the context of love, what is love? Well, it needs to be guided by knowledge of God's Bible, and it also needs to be guided by discernment. What is love? Let me illustrate it like this. If you come into the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, and let me first of all say to the membership of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, if you come in here and you join, and let's say become part of this local fellowship, you become a member, like young man did tonight, we'll be baptizing them Sunday. Come a member, we say, preacher, okay, what do you mean? Yes, it's a loving place. Yes, but our love has to be guided by the knowledge of the Bible and also by discernment that we get from the Word of God. Here's love. If you are part of this local fellowship and you get out in sin, here's love. Hey, I'm praying for you. You're not where you need to be with God. I'm really concerned for you. I'm praying for you. You say, preacher, that's not love. That's being mean-spirited. No, it's not. It's being loving. It's being concerned. And here's how we illustrate it. We have a love for you, and we have a love that your walk with God, it isn't where it needs to be. And because I love you, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to let you know, hey, I see something in your life that doesn't look like it used to look. You're not passionate for Jesus like you used to be. You know, you're not faithful like you used to be. You don't do that. You say, yeah, but pastor, sometimes that's not love. Sometimes that being, no. Love in the context that's guided by knowledge, it's sandwiched next to discernment. So because I love you and I have a knowledge, hopefully, have a knowledge of the Bible and have a knowledge of discernment, true love sometimes hurts. True love, you say, yeah, let me illustrate it like this. Somebody said, I know we don't have any kids in here, so let me just kind of mention something. Teenagers, sometimes. Teenage boys, especially. You've heard it. Sometimes teenage boys will look at a teenage girl and say, hey, if you love me, what? Give me this, give me that. Based on the Bible, is that love? No, absolutely not. But our culture has gotten so twisted that we think it is, based on the Bible. A mom says to her child, because I love you, I'm not going to spank you. Or as we'd say down home, I'm not going to beat the tar out of you. Now, a mom that looks at a child and says, because I love you, I'm not going to spank you, is that love? Biblically? No. The Bible language is so strong, it literally means if you spare the rod, you hate your child. So we have to keep it in context, love, and have a knowledge of the Word of God, Because I love you, all right, here's another thing of love. In the context of what real love is, and we're praying, God, may our love abound, but may we sandwich it between knowledge of your Bible and discernment. May we have discernment. May we have knowledge of your word. A person may say like this, we love you, and because we love you, oh, it's okay, you're a member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist. It's okay, yeah, you're a member of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, and because we love you, it doesn't matter how you live, because we love you. Is that biblical love? No, it's not biblical love. Biblical love is this. The Bible says faith are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes truth hurts. Let me say it in my own life. If my life isn't where it needs to be with Jesus, I would hope that the friends that I have that I've made myself accountable to, I've made myself accountable to, I would hope that they would look at me, and by the way, I'm saying this, but let me back it up. They have done this in my life since I was a teenager. I would hope that the friends that I have who love me have a knowledge of the Bible and have discernment to know what is of God and what isn't, that they would look at me and say, hey, Tracy, you're not where you need to be with Jesus, man. You need to get your life right with Christ. You say, oh, preacher, that's not really love. Oh, absolutely it's love. They love me enough to tell me the truth. And Jesus said, true love, charity. What does he say? Verse 6. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. Meaning, if you're in sin, I'm not going to rejoice in that. If you're living outside of fellowship with God, there's nothing to rejoice about that. But because I love you, it rejoices in the truth. And the truth is, God's children need to follow him. Amen? The truth is, God's children need to stay close and clean with their Lord and Savior. The truth is, God's children need to be accountable to the Lord and be accountable to brothers and sisters in Christ who love them and care for them. That's right out of the book, man. So Paul's praying, hey, that your love abounds, that it's guided by knowledge, that it's guided by judgment, discernment. So that's his call, literally, for love to abound. Now go back to Philippians. I'm going to give you one more thought. We'll finish this up next Wednesday night because we got a lot to give you. So there's a challenge there. He's talking about love. But then notice another challenge. There's a challenge to love, but there's also a challenge to know. A challenge to know. Look at the text. This is tremendous. Verse 10 says, that ye may approve things, underline the word approve, that ye may approve things that are excellent. God's people ought to strive for excellence. God's churches, and by the way, this is a prayer for this local assembly, this local church. He's praying that they go for excellence. And God's worthy of that. Amen? If we're going to do something for the Lord, may we do it with excellence. May that be our goal. He said, ah, preacher, I'm just going for good. No, man. He's so much worthy. More worthy of good. He's worthy of excellence. And may we, by the way, what do we say that worship is? It means to bestow honor, excellence on God alone. He's worthy. He's worthy of excellence. So Paul's praying for this local assembly. The word approved. What does the word approved mean? It literally means to test, to see if something is real. To test, to see if something is real. We are to test and to choose those things that are excellent. The text tells us that ye may approve things that are excellent. There's a challenge for us as God's people to know some things. Most Christians tonight, sadly, tragically, most Christians tonight, and I think I could say that, have an attitude across the board. Well, you know, it's good enough. No, ladies and gentlemen, from my heart before my Lord, may we never get to the point in our life that we think we've arrived and we can just put it into autopilot and coast till Jesus comes. May we never do that. May we have the passion, may we have the fervency that is within us, that Jesus is worthy of not my goodness, he's worthy of excellence. He's worthy of me getting better at what I do, getting better at singing, getting better playing instruments, getting better singing in the choir, and staying teachable, teaching a class. Man, and let me hit on the teaching a class for a minute. Sunday school teachers, please don't ever get in a rut and just say, well, it's good enough. It's the way I've always done it. Listen, may we have an understanding nothing's good enough. May we strive for excellence in teaching young people and teaching adults. May we do it with passion. That's what Paul is praying for. He says, I'm praying that your love abounds. Literally, that your love overflows. He said, but I'm also praying that your love, you understand what love is. It's guided by knowledge of God's word. And if I truly love you and your life is in sin, because I love you and guided by God's word, I'm gonna challenge you to, hey, I love you, man. Praying for you, sir. Love you. I'm just concerned about you. And, hey, I want to see you serve Jesus like you used to. So there's that. And then Paul says it's guided by discernment. You have to be discerning. You know, a lot of things, a lot of times we throw love out. But Paul says, hey, you got to be discerning with this love. No, we're not condoning a behavior. We're not going to condone a lifestyle and just label it, well, because I love them, I can't say anything about their lifestyle. No, because you do love them, you better say something about their lifestyle if it's not pleasing to Jesus. So Paul's challenging them in their prayer life. He said, I'm praying for you. He said, but I'm also praying that you know some things, that you approve some things, that you put it to the test. Things that are excellent, things that are sincere. We'll deal with that next Wednesday night. You say, preacher, why is it important? Why is it important that I pray for the church? Why is it important? Let me tell you why. Because Satan's desire is to destroy it. You didn't hear me. Satan's desire is to destroy this assembly. He absolutely wants to destroy it. I've seen him destroy churches. How has he done it? Well, he gets the church backbiting. He gets the church critical spirits. He gets the church and gets schisms in the church. And really what it boils all down to, he gets sin. Stay with me. How does he destroy churches? He gets sin in the life of its members. That's how he does it. He says, well, preacher, nobody's perfect. You're absolutely right. And often, I mean, chances are we sin every day. You say, well, preacher, well, that just negated what you just said. No, stay with me for a minute. Here's the difference. When we do sin, keep a short account of that. Ask God to forgive you of that. What is repentance? It's a change of mind and acting upon that change. It's not confession. I think sometimes we confuse what repentance is with confession. Well, I've confessed my sins. Did you confess them? Or did you repent them and forsake them? Amen? We come down the aisle and say, oh, preacher, I'm sorry. I've sinned against the church. And, da, 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 da. And honestly, truly, and this is my heart before God, I'm not so certain we haven't created a Baptist form of Catholicism. Seriously. And you say, what do you mean by that? Come down the aisle, take the preacher by the hand, tell the preacher what you're sorry for, tell the church forgives, but tomorrow I'm going to run right back out and do the same sins that I was doing. But next Sunday I'll come before the preacher and confess it. That's not repentance. That's not repentance. That may be a feeling sorry because your hand is in the cookie jar, right? What is true love? It has to be guided by knowledge. It has to be guided by discernment. And true repentance is change of mind, act upon that change. To the Jewish mind and to the Greek minds who would have heard the word repent, In the words of John the Baptist and the words of Jesus, they literally, their mind would have thought, look again. Look again to what you know about Jesus. Look again to what you've heard about Jesus Christ. Look again to what you heard. So if we love you, if we truly love you, we're going to be governed by the word of God. We're going to be guided by that. We're going to put things to the test. We want to strive for excellence because Jesus is worthy. That's how we pray. That's how you can pray for your church. We'll talk more about it next Wednesday night. And maybe prayerfully, man, we could really develop our prayer lives to go in a direction that's really biblical and Christ-honoring. And we just don't throw something up just to mouth a few words like the Pharisees used to do. We get in a rut like the Pharisees. Oh, you know, I'm this, I'm that. And I thank you, God, that I'm not like this heathen, not like this person, like this sinner. No, we our prayer life, even our prayer life, is governed by the Bible. Stand with me, please, for hymn invitation. If you're here tonight without Jesus, sweet friend, I encourage you right where you're at, right where you stand, to bow your heart and head before God and ask God to forgive you of your sins and by faith believe that Christ died, was buried, rose again. Once you repent of your sin, you trust Jesus, you call upon him, he saves you. And once he saves you, you do like this young man did tonight. You follow your Lord in baptism, become part of that local New Testament church where you can serve God, where you can grow in your walk with God. If Jesus loved the church, the Apostle Paul loved the church, then I need to love.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.